Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are gathered here to celebrate the texts for the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Because the baptism of our Lord always ends up being the exact same Sunday, we rarely get to hear about these texts. Now, in the grand scheme of things, the baptism of our Lord is a little bit more important than hearing about a 12-year-old boy at a temple. But tonight, I figured I would use this as an opportunity to spend some time really digging into this text, because it's important as well. You know as well as I do that there simply isn't a lot in the scriptures about Jesus' life from after his birth to the beginning of his ministry. Yes, there is plenty about his conception at the Annunciation. There is his time in his mother's womb at the visitation of Elizabeth. We hear about the traveling down to the place that he would be born in Bethlehem. And after that, we hear of the shepherds who would worship him, the wise men who would come to give glory to this newborn king, and then a flight into Egypt. For an angel would tell Joseph to flee from that place into Egypt to escape the death that Herod was about to rain down. But other than that, this is about the only story there is about the man Jesus, God in the flesh. And then it's the only thing that we hear about him until he begins his earthly ministry at about the age of 30. So, if that is the case, why is this included? Well, we hear in the scriptures that if all the things that Christ had done were to be written in books, that not even the whole world could contain it. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life everlasting. Why is this boy at the age of 12 so important that we would devote a time to hear about it? Well, the fact is that he is doing what all people should be doing in this text. Throughout the years, especially in these last years, I have seen many people try to put out stories about what Jesus was like in his childhood. You have stories like the Gospel of Thomas, all these sorts of things becoming popularized, especially by Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. But again, if it were meant to be included for your salvation, it would have been included in the scriptures. This 12-year-old boy, his parents had left. You see, they would have traveled in a large caravan. Many of their relatives all would have been present. You might say, how can parents lose a 12-year-old boy? Well, I was a 12-year-old boy once. And it's not all that hard. Little kids love doing something that freaks parents out. You ever been in a store where there are clothes? You know those clothes racks? Kids love them. Parents, not so much. But that's because we have lost the same childlike joy that they have. And because we've watched episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. And so we try to guard our children as close to us as we can. 50 years ago, boys would go playing out in the street, playing a pickup game of baseball or football. And now we organize everything. But this 12-year-old boy shows us the example of what every single Christian should be doing. He should be devoted himself to being in the Father's house about the Father's business. You see, Jesus came to this world for one specific task. That was to proclaim who he was and to die for the sins of the world. And so that is why he is in the temple. They had all come for the feast of the Passover and he had lingered. He lingered and he sat at the feet of the great teachers of his faith. And he listened, and he observed, and he gave them answers. And his answers astounded the rabbis and the teachers. Why? Because he was 12 years old. But why would Jesus know so much about the Word of God? He is the Word of God. That Word made flesh that St. John writes about in his first chapter of his Gospel. This Word made flesh devoted himself to the things that his Father had sent him. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Some of the texts translate this Greek to be in my Father's house, and the two go hand in hand. We gather in our Father's house to hear his Word, to receive his Word, to be filled on his Word and in his sacraments, that we may go out there and continue the mission that he has given us to do, to be a faithful husband or wife, son or daughter, mother, father, or whatever other types of vocations you might have, to be a good neighbor, to show the world that there is still light, light found only in the one true God. Why isn't there a whole lot about this boy Jesus in the scriptures? Well, because he obeyed his parents, and he did what every child is supposed to do. He obeyed his parents because the law said to. He submitted himself fully to the law. Honor your father and your mother. You and I have not done it perfectly, but he did. And so you'll notice he is not sarcastic with her. He does not put her down, but rather he says, this is where I must be. And the text says he subjected himself to them and grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and men. Our epistle lesson is important for us too. We are reminded that we are not to conform ourselves to this world, the world who tells you not to go to your father's house, the world who tells you not to be about your father's business, but rather we are to be transformed. We are to obey God before men, that we might be transformed too. We are on a path, and we are in this together. And along this path, we need to pick each other up and at times even drag each other along. Because God has made you for a special purpose. And he sent his Word made flesh to live a perfect life, to suffer and die on the cross, to cover all of your sins. Trust your baptism. Trust that you have the forgiveness of sins. Trust that when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you truly are receiving the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith into eternal life. So do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by God and the things of God. Take heart, dear Christian, because he has done all of this for you. And so the church sings, then here will I and mine today a solemn promise make and say, though all the world forsake his word, I and my house will serve the Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.